Is this considered a word tonight? Let's look at the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew. And the passage that we're going to read from is Matthew chapter 18. In Matthew 18 verse 20, and I'll read from verse 18, 19 and 20. It says here, "Assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." So as we seek God tonight in online prayer, we're going to consider this little series that we call The Presence of Jesus. The Presence of Jesus. We know the Bible tells us that Jesus is present in our midst whenever we gather together. And the numbers don't have to be big. It says where two or three are gathered together. And we know gathering together, the minimum is just two. And so Jesus starts right at the minimum that if two or three people gather together, He is there in the midst of us. We know theologically that God is omnipresent and He is present everywhere through His Holy Spirit. In fact, the psalmist tells us in the book of Psalms 139 that there's no place you can flee from the presence of God. Romans chapter 8 tells us that nothing can separate you from the love of God. And that love of God is also an expression of His presence. Neither angels, nor death, nor hell, nor principalities, nor powers. Nothing in all the universe of God could separate us from God's presence. God is present everywhere. Except that His presence is not known, of course. And those in darkness and in hell do not know God's presence, even though God's presence and love is available for them at any place, any time, on any section of the universe or eternity. So Jesus is present everywhere. Jesus is the expression of God's presence in any part of the universe. God always reveals Himself through the Word, which is our Lord Jesus Christ. He's taken on the name Jesus Christ on this planet Earth. But we're going to consider about this presence of Jesus that is with us. What do we do about the presence of Jesus that is in our midst? Obviously, there is this general presence of Jesus. But this presence of Jesus that is with us apparently can be in various formats and in various degrees, in various expressions. Let's throw in some more scriptures here. In the book of John, Gospel of John, chapter 14. In John chapter 14, in verse 15 onwards, Jesus, in talking about the Holy Spirit, tells them, John 14 verse 15 onwards, He tells them, "If you love Me, keep My commandments, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you." So it says the world cannot see nor know the Holy Spirit or Jesus in verse 17. But He turns around and tells His disciples, "You know Him, you know the Holy Spirit, for He dwells with you and will be inside of you." He did not say they will see, but He said you will know Him. And when we say Jesus is in our midst, we may or may not be able to see Him. We can see Him if the gift of the Holy Spirit called discerning of spirits operates in our life. Then you might be able to see Him as He permits. But outside of that premises, we can know Him. He is in our midst. And then Jesus says in verse 19 about seeing him. He does talk about seeing him in verse 19. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But then he comes and says, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. So Jesus said, you will see me. And of course, some of us may say, hey, he's talking about his disciples. And after the cross, he will meet them again. So he will see them and it is fulfilled. But what about us who are also his disciples, who accept him after all those period of time, 2,000 years later? Is this promise for us? He says, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. So there should be some sort of knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, perception of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is in our midst. Let's read on, verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. There he goes again. See, he talks about the world does not see nor know. Then he says to the disciples that you will know me. And then he says, a little while you won't see me, but then you will see me again. And then we might say, oh, that's for the disciples and maybe for some of us. And then he continues and says, the day, in that day, that one day you will know that I'm in my Father, you in me, I in you. And he has my commandments, he who has my commandments. Now verse 21 is for every single disciple. Because all of us have his commandments. He says, he who has my commandments keeps them. It is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I, Jesus says, will love him and manifest myself to him. The word manifest is in the Greek is phanerios, or phanerios as some pronounce it. From the word phaneo, which means to reveal oneself, to make tangible, to make visible. So Jesus did say he will reveal himself to us. He is in our midst and he wants to reveal. And then one of his disciples, who is Jude, asks him and says, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? How is it that you show yourself to us, but the world still doesn't know? And Jesus explains to him how it's going to happen. Jesus did explain how his presence is going to be in our life. Let's read verse 23-24. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him. And again, here he goes. We will come to him and make our home with him. Obviously, this is another degree of God's presence. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear me is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Within this short little passage, you see the growing degree of the presence of our Lord. The first one, it says in verse 17, through the Holy Spirit, the world sees, cannot see me, cannot know me, but he says, you will know me. Because he dwells with you and will be in you. Do you know the starting point? Is you have to know him who dwells in you, which is the Holy Spirit. So to know him and let him dwell in us, and we know him. So the first contact in this verse of the presence is knowing him. And that know, of course, we know, it's not just intellectual knowledge. It's a spiritual knowing, an inner knowing. You will know him. That's number one. Number two, a little while you will see me no more, but then you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. Hey, that's a second dimension of seeing him. So this second dimension says, you will see me. And you can say that apply to his disciples. But we have a verse for you. You add Matthew chapter 5 verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So there is a sense of seeing God. And the expression of God is seeing Jesus. So an expression of seeing Jesus. There is a dimension. But you see Jesus not with your eyes, with your heart.
that is so blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
So there's a second dimension of knowing His presence. And number three, He says in verse 21, if you have my commandment, you keep them, you love me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And Jesus says, I will personally love him. I will love him and manifest, the word manifest, make myself known to the person. That's level number three. Knowing him, seeing him, manifesting to us. Number three is manifestation. And then number four is, he says, if anyone, in verse 23, keep my word, my Father will love him, we will come. Hey, that's a plurality there. In verse 21, Jesus says, I will love him and I will. The Greek actually says, I will love him and I will manifest, which is Jesus manifest. But here is, we will. The Father and Jesus. He says, we will come to him and make our home with him. Fourth level. In five verses, four levels of God's presence. So what does he say when he says in Matthew chapter 18 verse 20, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. But there are these four different levels in which you can experience God. What level are we and how do we start? Which is the subject of our topic today. And we have a little clue. Ephesians chapter 3. Let's take that in Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians 3, it's actually still talking about the presence of our Lord. And more specifically, the presence of Jesus with us and in us. Ephesians 3, Paul's prayer for them. Verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, length, depth, and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So it starts by saying that our inner man is to be strengthened so that Christ can dwell in our heart. And he's writing to believers here. He's writing to the Ephesian church. And by the time he wrote to them in the book of Ephesians, they were a very mature church and many, many years and as a Christian and as a strong leadership and church. He's not talking about being born again. Now, when we are born again, Christ comes into our heart. And definitely Christ is already in their hearts. But here he's talking about Christ's presence coming even more into their lives. That Christ may dwell in them until they are so filled with the presence of God. Tonight we want to talk about the presence of Jesus and how we can access and meditate on the presence of Jesus. Well, tonight, of course, in this whole year's online prayer, we will allow you to take some time to go aside and meditate on the scriptures. And preferably during a time when you're most sleepy, and then you can meditate and then come back to pray. Of course, if you have a prayer, but then pray it through first. But outside of that, there is a way in which you can meditate on the presence of Jesus. There is a way. And we are shown in John 14, there are these four levels of God's presence. Where do we start? Now, when we talk about meditating on the presence of Jesus, most people will say, okay, what do I do? What do I see? And of course, many people don't know how to picture Jesus, so when they think about Jesus, the only pictures that come to them are pictures that they might have seen, or some drawings of Jesus, or paintings of Jesus, or maybe from the book of Revelations, there's a good description, where it's not very clear, but you see some sort of presence of God with light, with glory. And
But most of the people who meditate on the presence of God, they start at the wrong place. They start at the wrong place. They always meditate God's presence outside of them.
See, if I were to say, okay, let's meditate on Jesus in our midst,
straight away, you'd be trying to meditate, where is Jesus? Where is he positioned? Or you'd be thinking Jesus is up there.
Correct.
And you're trying to access him, there he is. You know, or whatever your visual abilities are. And he's outside. That's not the method. And this is a strange thing about the presence of Jesus. Firstly, we all completely have no doubts that Jesus is in our midst. Say, but I don't feel him, but I don't see him. No different. Because he says it, and that's it. He said, where two or three are gathered in his name, we are gathered in his name, he is in our midst. So there's no doubt about that. If you doubt about his presence, then you're doubting his word. So it's a given that he is in our midst. We do not doubt whether he's in our midst. We know he's in our midst. We accept that he's in our midst. We believe that he's in our midst. So bring your faith level to accept him as it is. Whether you feel him or not, he is in our midst. And of course, outside of this, once you train yourself in a body, in a fellowship, then when you go alone, then you can understand that presence being with you too. But it's good to know that there's a scripture that says that he's in our midst. Of course, alone, you can have Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20, that says, lo, I'm with you even unto the end of the age. So individually, he's with you. You have all those scriptures that you can find, that he is with us. But how do you start meditating on the presence of Jesus? Most people meditate on the presence outside. But there's this law of God, and that is that the presence of Jesus that you can discern outside of you depends on the presence that you discern on your inside. In other words, to know him on the outside, which he is in heaven, the right hand of God, and in our midst, you have to know his presence on your inside. It is through your inside, the presence of Jesus on your inside, in your spirit man, that you can discern his presence outside of you. Ephesians chapter 3 relates the two. Technically, you could relate Ephesians 3. But he says, as Christ dwells on your inside, then they are filled with God's presence. And the feeling include internally and externally. God's presence all around them. So there are these two portions of God's presence. It is just like, we always think that to be able to see is just dependent on external forces. No. To be able to see something, you must have some part of you that can handle the colors. Some people are colorblind because some parts of their visual capacity could be not developed or hindered or injured. So they might not have the capacity to see all colors. The colors are there, but they cannot appreciate and see it because there's no visual capacity. The light that is outside needs to hit their nerves, and it's some of their nerves that cannot handle and react to those color of lights. You know, different lights are different wavelength, different color of light, different wavelength. So there's no capacity to know the light. You need something inside you to know something outside. Talk about sound waves. We can only hear sound because there's something in us that reacts to the sound, correct? You can only see light because there's something in you that reacts to the light. You can only hear a sound because there's something in you that reacts to the sound. Your eardrums. If your eardrums are damaged, sound doesn't exist as far as you're concerned. It still exists to other people. But because you have no capacity to react to the sound waves, you never hear anything. You become deaf. That's the principle, is to know something that is outside, you need something on your inside that reacts to whatever equilibrium is on the outside. So the key to knowing the presence of God outside, the key to discerning Jesus in our midst is actually in your spirit. So point one, in learning on the presence of God, where do we start? Number one, start by meditating on the presence of God on your inside. On your inside. We are taught that Jesus is in us. We are taught evangelically that we have accepted Jesus Christ. Jesus has come to dwell inside us. Well, have you ever felt what it is like to have Him inside? You know how sometimes you could concentrate on feeling what it was like. It's just like sometimes when you eat food, you could eat in a hurry. Sorry to talk about food during the fast. And let's say you eat food, and you just eat the food because you're hungry, and you eat the food, and it has a taste, it has a good taste, but you're not paying attention much to the taste, you're just hungry, you gobble the food out. But you could also eat your food differently, and you could take a little bite and just appreciate all the taste that is there, and eat it slowly and appreciate every bite and every nuance of flavor and taste, and you appreciate all the fullness of the taste of the food, just like a connoisseur of food or connoisseur of wine. And the connoisseur of wine, when they drink wine, they would not just gobble the wine up, they would smell the wine, let the wine flavor just soak their nostrils, appreciate the flavor, the smell, whether it be a woody smell, a fruity flavor, and all these tastes that are there. And then they will swivel the wine in a glass, and then they sip it a little bit. They don't just, you just take a big gulp. They take a small little sip to taste the flavor of the wine and be able to express all the flavors and to enjoy and taste all the flavors that is there. And appreciate the flavors. It could be a bit bitter, a bit fruity, a bit sweet, a bit sour, and all these various tastes that are there, and it just kicks into their inside, so they appreciate the taste that is there, and paying a little bit more attention to those areas. So Jesus is in our heart. We need to meditate upon His presence inside. And the first key is that when you pray, meditate on Jesus on your inside. And quote unquote, feel Jesus on your inside. You must feel Jesus on your inside before you can sense Jesus on the outside. So many people will say, oh, meditate on the presence of God. Oh, He's up there. Oh, they're trying to feel. Oh, He's somewhere in the midst of us. midst of us, some people interpret literally, he's somewhere in the center. Won't be in the corner. Right? So they're thinking of physical dimensions. Heaven is far away in geographically, or in the building, some corner or in the middle or somewhere where He's standing. All these are wrong concepts. First place is to meditate on Jesus on your inside. And you just enjoy the sense of Jesus being on your inside. You meditate that He is in you, and you seek to feel Him on your inside. Now that's the part we cannot convey to you, because I can't feel Jesus on your inside for your inside. You need to feel Jesus on your inside for yourself, and meditate on Him being in your inside. You know He's, the Spirit is on your inside, and you're sensing, you're knowing Him, you're enjoying His presence on your inside, and you're just meditating on the glory of God that is inside you. Meditating on the glory of God and the presence, however He expresses in you. And whether you use visualizing, or you're seeing something on your inside, or you're using your spiritual sense of touch, you're sensing His presence on your inside as you pray in the Spirit, as you meditate on the Word, as you just love Him and worship Him, as you're singing to Him, you're just enjoying Him being your inside. And you are just the donkey carrying Him, or you're just the boat where Jesus is sitting in, or you're just a cup in which the Spirit is filling, whatever analogy you use. But Jesus is on your inside, and you're just meditating that His presence is in you, and enjoying the sense of His presence on your inside. So take just a few minutes on that. Close your eyes for a moment and just pray in the Spirit and worship in the Spirit. Enjoy the sense of His presence on your inside. Alright, thank you very much. Now some of you, as you're meditating on that area, you get a bit of visual clues. Some of you might sense a sensation like you're sensing a fire on your inside, a light on your inside, a cloud being filling you on your inside, or you feel like a river flowing on your inside, or some sort of pictorial area. So the Holy Spirit might send pictorial allegories across you. How many of you got any pictures came to you just now? Yes. David? What picture? A light on your inside. Yes. What is it? Small picture. A light. Any other pictorial elements? Anybody else? Okay. Some of you might sense like a river flowing, or a picture, a pictorial sight. And then some of you might just have a sense of a lightness that is there. So it could flow through any one of your five senses. Your sense of touch, your sense of sight, but some sort of knowing and sense of God being in you. And the picture of a light in you is a good example, or a river flowing. Now, some of you may ask, is this scriptural? As long as your allegories are biblical. Now, there are Bible verses that say, the spirit of a man is a lamp inside him. Your spirit is like a lamp. So, and what did Jesus say in Sermon on the Mount? You are the light of the world. He said, if the light is there, don't hide it in the bushel, but put it on the lampstand and let it shine. So there are enough verses to give you the permission to visualize yourself like a light inside you, a fire, a lamp, or light. And there are enough verses where Jesus say to the woman at the well in John 4, and then He spoke while He was at the temple in John 7. In the woman at the well, He says that he who drinks of this water, he will never thirst again. And there will be like a deep well. And then in John 7, it says, out of his spirit shall flow rivers of living water. So another illustration that is scriptural, fully scriptural, is the vision of river flowing out to you, or water of flowing out to you. That's to enhance your sensation of God's presence or your insight. And so as long as those illustrations or the visual cues have scriptural basis, that's fine. And
then we go into the second area, which is the what I call the fruit of the Spirit, the Q. Notice that every time we talk about God's presence, it talks about God's love. And so for some of us who are not so visual, see, not everyone is visual. We don't have visual cues. And there is a secondary manner, and we just point to all the scriptures once again. In Ephesians chapter 3, notice that when you talk about our spirit man being strengthened, our inner man being strengthened in verse 16, he prayed that God would strengthen our inner man through His Spirit. Then he says in verse 17 that Christ, Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Then he talked about a process of love. See, there are many processes of love. He says that you may be rooted and grounded in love. Not just love, but there's a rooting and grounding in love. And I like the picture, because rooting and grounding in love is like love is taking root in you. You feel love flowing through all your being, like love taking roots and flowing out through you, like your blood vessels, your blood veins, or your arteries flowing out through you. The roots are flowing all over. You're being grounded and rooted in love. And then again, it talks about knowing love in verse 19. All the different aspects of love. The width, the length, the depth, the height. Say, wow, I didn't know love got so many dimensions. And all these dimensions of love that has been tasted. So the second avenue is through the fruit of the Spirit. And in my understanding, all the fruit of the Spirit relate to love. So love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and temperance. All the nine fruit of the Spirit are expressions of His love. And when you compare Galatians 5 verse 22-23, where the nine fruit of the Spirit is mentioned, with 1 Corinthians 13, you realize that peace is related to love, joy is related to love, because and long-suffering is related to love, because you say, love suffers long. Love is kind, so kindness is related to love. And love rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. So there is the joy that comes from love. So all the nine fruit of the Spirit are actually nine different flavors of the same substance flowing through us. And thus we have this sensation of love. And even though some of us understand love from our human emotion side, which there is eros love, philia love, and there's stoge love, besides agape love. There are four Greek words for love. And eros love is the love between husband and wife, and philia love is between friends, and friendship love, and stoge love is family love, brothers and sisters, parents to the children. And then of course you got agape love. We all understand these various aspects of love from the emotional aspects of it. That's fine, because all these other aspects also flow from agape love. We have verses in the Bible that relate agape love to all aspects of love. And so if the only sensation of love you have is like a love between lovers, husband and wife, then you just have to understand how to turn it and consecrate it into agape love. Based on Ephesians chapter 5. The love between husband and wife is expressed as the love between our Lord Jesus for His church. And if the love that you have, and the strongest love and sensation of love that you ever have in your life is between brothers and sisters, or between parents and children, and that's stoge love, that's your expression of love, remember the words of Jesus when He says, who are my brothers and who are my sisters? Who is my mother? And he turned around and looked at His disciples. Say, you know, these are His brothers, His sisters, and his mother and all of that. So Jesus relates family love back into discipleship, back to Himself. And so all family love can turn back towards the Lord.
to realize that that becomes Jesus becomes like our elder brother, and so all that love turned back to the Lord. Filial love also can be turned back to the Lord, because the Lord did not oppose filial love. In fact, when in the Gospel of John, he asked Peter three times, do you love me? There's a play on Greek words, we all know that. Jesus actually says, do you agapao me? Using agape love. The agape is a noun, agapao is a verb. So do you agapao me? And Peter replied, I filio you. And then Jesus in the end came down to his level and said, do you filio me? And then he says, he filio him. So Jesus accepted his level of love. He could not reply, I agapao you back, because he might understand that his love is still growing. And Jesus accepted and allowed him to turn that friendship love that he has for Jesus into agape love. And in fact, when you read the epistles, like Philippians and all the other epistles, filial love and agape love gets like become almost something like synonyms. They turn one into another. And so remember, agape love is the root of all love. And agape love is portioned out into a family, becomes toge love. Portioned out into a love relationship, husband and wife, becomes eros love. And portioned out into a friendship love, it becomes filial love. So all those actually are shadows and reflections of agape love. And so if all in our heart that we are feeling is the fruit of the Spirit in various ways, or different sensations of love, or you're meditating on what it is like to be loved and being filled by God and being touched by God's love, and you're meditating on that, that is a second level to meditate on the presence of God. The first one is to be able to meditate that God's presence is in you. You got visual cues. Second one is to be able to meditate on His love that is there in you. And notice that Ephesians 1, the presence of God and the love of God are related. In the book of John, where we took the verses from, in John chapter 14, it is also talking about love. You cannot run away from love. It says here, in John 14, Jesus says in verse 15, if you love me, so if you find the love for me, Jesus says, keep my commandments. And I'll pray the Father and all these things. And then verse 18, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. In other words, you know, an orphan is one without a parent. So Jesus is going to show his fatherly love to us. And then he says in verse 21, he who has my commandments and keeps them, John 14 verse 21, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him. So Jesus said, he who loves me. And so what do you meditate on when you meditate on the presence of God? Do you just visualize and pray in tongues? Yeah. What else can you meditate to increase the presence of God in your life? Remember, to increase the presence of God over your life, you must first increase the presence of God in your life. So when that presence is stronger, like if you ask, how great is your ability to see colors? It depends on how well trained or how good your eyes are. How great is your ability to hear? It depends on how well trained your hearing is, and also how good the original piece of equipment for hearing is. And the same way, how good are we at discerning the presence of God around us depends on how great our capacity is to develop to be affected and touched by His presence. It all starts on our inside. So this is the training that we have. And we're talking about level one, His presence, visual cues. Number two, His love. So what can we meditate about in His love? You could, when you're meditating on His presence in you, you begin to meditate in two dimensions. One, His love for you, your love for Him. His love for you, of course, you might be thinking about how you're like the apple of His eye and how much He loves you. And we love Him because He first loved us. So there's a sense of His love for you. And some people are so good at that, and it seems that long ago, in early Christianity, when Christianity, monasteries were unpopular, the popular mode of Christianity, you know, long ago, 1,000 years ago, when people want to grow closer to God, they want to really go all out, the first thing they think is join a monastery, become a nun. Now today, people want to get closer to God, they think of out in the world, become more effective. It's a different, we are on opposite ends of the pendulum. We need both ends of the truth. And to get closer to God, meditate on being closer to God, God's love for you, and how much He loves you, and as you understand that love, long ago, as you're going to use the illustration, when there were saints like Saint Francis of Assisi, Brother Lawrence, Saint Augustine, and Madame Guyon, you know, some which are more recent authors, some of these people, as Savonarola and some of these older saints, when they meditate on God's love, they could meditate until they weep. Say, wow. That's how great their meditation capacity is. I mean, thinking about God's love until you weep. That's great. And now don't purposely try to do it tonight. And it has to flow with the Spirit. I just want to illustrate how great people's capacity is as they develop. And of course, the presence of God don't always have to make you weep. It can make you rejoice. It can make you peaceful. And different fruit of the Spirit can affect you, because at different points in your time, you might need to sense more of God's presence. Like, for example, you might need more peace. So when you meditate on love, you feel more peaceful. Some people, when they meditate on the love of God, they feel joy, because at that point in their life, they need to be filled with more joy. So the different fruit of the Spirit minister to us. And as in the second level, you meditate on the presence of God. When you're inside, His love for you, and don't forget, your love for Him. And you meditate on your love for Him. And as you meditate on your love for Him, you might begin to think of things that you would love to do with God, in God. And as you, all those, let it flow. And as it flow, that is where your love for God increases. And people have asked, how does love grow? Alright, faith comes by hearing by the word of God. How does love grow? Love grow by constantly people talking about love and growing. You know, why do like husband and wife, how they continue to be train themselves to all their years keep loving? They got to talk about love and keep expressing their love, so it increases the love. And if they don't express and talk about the love for each other, after some time, you know, things will be taken for granted, and then you lose touch with that. In the same way, when we meditate more about our love for God and God's love for us, it does have a acceleration and self-propagation. And it becomes, at first, when you are meditating, it's in your conscious mind. But as you meditate long enough, it becomes into your subconscious mind. Then it becomes strong in your subconscious. Like it could be, you know that God loves you, right? But if you measure the strength, maybe 20 volts. Then as you every day meditate on God's love and know God's love and meditate on God's scriptures, subconsciously it might be increasing to 50 volts. So by default, you always knew that God loves you. Under pressure, who you are comes out. So when you're under pressure, the real you comes out, the real subconscious you, as to how much degree, how greatly you trust in God, comes out. Like if you got a problem, or you're confronted by a mountain, a war, impossible situation, things that look like hopeless and failure, and things that confronts you, that doomsday coming, a bad thing's going to happen, that's when your subconscious, all that you meditate, rises to the surface. And if you're 100% assured God loves you, you don't even flicker. You're like on the boat, and all the disciples say, you know, Master, we perish. Jesus is with them. If they perish, Jesus will die too. But somehow they're concerned. Oh, we're dying. And he's sleeping in a boat. Why are they so anxious about dying? Die. Because why? The master die with him. You know, have anyone thought, you know, Jesus is in the boat? And if the whole boat turned, as if Jesus can continue floating, sleeping, and all, then drowning. No, Jesus would be also sinking. So, if the master is asleep, they should have said, let's sleep next to him. You know, or John would say, use Jesus' bosom as a pillow. But you see, they're concerned for their own life. Subconsciously, they don't trust themselves, they don't trust God, they don't trust Jesus. It all comes up. So when you meditate a lot on the love of God, when you got a difficult situation, the first thing that comes to you is peace. Because you know that God is going to see you through. That's not going to be the ending. There's no such thing as a defeat in God. And if Jesus is in you, you think you can be defeated? No way. So it's a powerful dimension of meditating on Jesus in you. So meditating on the love of Jesus will increase that dimension into a degree of God's presence greater in you. And meditating is just like the gym, exercising. Now, when you go to exercise and train yourself and you go for a long walk, a run, exercise, why are you doing the exercise for? So that in your normal life, your body is healthy. You didn't exercise for the sake that always you have to exercise. So everywhere you go, you have to be jogging 24 hours. No. You did that so your heart condition, your heart vessels are functioning in full function. And you got a great amount of health. And every part of your body is healthy. Correct. So the same way you meditate on God's love, so that during the times you're not meditating, the consciousness of His love rises up. The consciousness of His presence comes out at any time. When you're most unexpected. When the enemy challenges, straight away the assurance comes strong and you know that's it. No problem. You know this will just sail through. So love is very important. Then you go to the third level, which comes to where, while you're teaching this series, is the Word of God. Meditation on the Word. See, in the book of John 14, he also mentions the Word. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, part of keeping his commandments or keeping his word is meditating. He told the Israelites, he said, you shall observe my statutes, you shall obey my laws. And among the obedience of the law, he told them what to do. He says in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, when you lie down, when you rise up, when you walk by the way, you shall write the word on the wall, on your doorposts, on your gates, put it as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall talk about the word everywhere. And then he says, if there's a king that rises, the king shall write a copy of this law, and he will also meditate on it. So, loving the word and meditating on the word is a third level of increasing the presence of God. So even when you're taking the word in between afterwards, when you're praying at some point, and you feel, okay, you're going to confess the word, and you take the word and you read, you know, the Lord loves me, and you meditate on the love, you meditate on the blessings of God, and you talk, and you're reading the scriptures, that actually increases His presence on your inside. Because in the Gospel of John chapter 14, it tells you here in verse 15, if you love my commandments, if you love me, keep my commandments. And then he also says here in verse 23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. See, there's love and then there's the word. And then in John chapter 15, he says in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. So obviously, these words abiding in us needs to take place. And whenever we take the scriptures and we confess the scriptures and we meditate on the scriptures and we read the scriptures softly to ourselves, we are loving the word. That again builds what I call the third category of training your spirit man. And so what we are given you in a start on the presence of Jesus is 3 points today. One, his to know His presence outside, you need to know His presence inside. Meditate on His presence in you. Secondly, meditate on His love in you. Thirdly, confess the word. Speak the word. As you speak the word, you will notice His presence on your inside grow. And if you take care of His presence on your inside, His manifest presence on the outside and all other external factors where Jesus is in the midst of us and His presence in heaven where He can draw your spirit to the heavenly presence, all comes automatically according to the level of His presence inside us. Praise God. So let's tonight go to God in prayer and prepare ourselves to pray. And remember, for those of you who first have just come, you can put the pictures that we told you to bring of your family or your loved ones, and put the photographs here into the prayer box here. And we're going to spend time in prayer, in the spirit and in meditation, for those of you who want to mix the two. Praise God. Let's all rise together. We thank You, Lord. We praise You. Thank You, Father, for Your grace, Your mercy upon our life. Father, we ask, Lord, that even as we focus on Your word, focus on Your love, focus on Your presence in our life, we want to build Your presence in our spirit. We want our inner man to be strengthened so that Christ may dwell in our hearts. And this indwelling presence of God increases upon us so that You could do what You want through us, O Lord. We thank You, Father, for Your presence as we gather together. And Father, even though You're present in our midst, our ability to contact Your presence, our ability to be blessed by this presence, our ability to be clothed and blessed by this presence is limited by the presence within us. So we ask, O God, that You tune our inner sensation of Your presence so that we will be able to know You, to love You, to worship You as You are. We thank You, Father, in Jesus' name. We'll sing a song and then we go and pray in the spirit and slowly soften the lights. And don't forget, the lights on the outside will still be on. And then we go to prayer. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock. He's my fortress, He's my deliverer, in Him will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock, He's my fortress, He's my deliverer, in Him will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus. Mama,